Throughout the Bible, we find statements about the origin, the design, and the destiny of the universe. Moreover, the fact that we know from science that matter can neither be created nor destroyed, which is the first law of thermodynamics, and the universal law of decay, which says basically that the batteries are running down in your flashlight, which is the second law of thermodynamics, and these laws are clearly taught in the Bible. And if we look at the Bible from a scientific perspective, it's a very, very interesting book. In the biblical text, we find a number of incredibly accurate statements about the nature of the physical universe. Today, what we're going to do is we're going to look at some of those statements, and we're going to look at the implications for us today. So first of all, for my first statement, let's look at the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was written about 2,000 years ago, about 4,000 years ago, 1500 B.C. That would be 3,500 years ago. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 33. And let's see what it says in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 22. And remember that this statement was made thousands of years ago. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 22. As the host of heaven cannot be numbered, nor the sand of the sea measured, so I will multiply the descendants of David, my servant, and the Levites who ministered to me. Now, I want you to notice that it says the host or the stars of heaven cannot be numbered. Now, at the time Jeremiah was written, thousands of years ago, there were no telescopes to aid in the study of the cosmos. On a clear night, you could only see about 3 or 4,000 stars. And the telescopes weren't invented until about 1600. Some say they were invented earlier by the Chinese. But telescope as we know it, and as European history teaches us, was invented about 1600 years ago. Yet 800 years before the birth of Christ, God told the prophet Jeremiah that the numbers of stars could not be numbered. Now I want you to consider something. 3 to 4,000 stars is not an impossible amount to number. There are ancient atlases, because we're not the only ones that know about the heavens. There are ancient atlases that gave names to all of the stars. You go out on a clear night and you see thousands of them. But in the star maps and the atlases that the ancients had, they were all numbered, even before the discovery of the telescope or the invention of the telescope. So the Bible here says that the stars cannot be numbered, and yet at the time up until just recently, 300 or 400 years ago, the stars could be numbered. Now, we are living in the age of the Hubble telescope. We're living in the age of these giant astronomical telescopes. We're living in the age of National Geographic. And we take it for granted that there's lots of stars. But back when this was written, nobody knew about any other stars other than the stars that could be observed. And those stars could be numbered, because they were, and could be named, because they were, in the ancient atlases. So it's a very interesting statement here where God says that there are so many stars they cannot be numbered. Now, I want you to consider, astronomers estimate that there are at least 100 billion, that's with a B, 100 billion stars in our Milky Way galaxy. The Milky Way galaxy is our galaxy that we live in. It's called the Milky Way. And there's about 100 billion stars in that galaxy. And there are about 100 billion galaxies in the universe. So there's billions of stars that we have never seen, and we didn't even know they were there before the invention of the telescope. For anyone to number the host of heaven, that would be actually an impossible task. And it says here in verse 22, as the host of heavens cannot be numbered. So the Bible was correct hundreds of years before Christ when it said it would be impossible to number all of the stars. Scientists estimate that we have so many stars that if you could count one every 10 seconds, it would take us 100 trillion years to count them all. That's just the stars in the known universe that we see. You know, you get into the horizon and the event horizon and how far we can actually see with telescopes, and scientists say that there's actually stars way beyond what we can see because of the way that light interacts. We can't see all the stars that exist. So the Bible here was really ahead of its time when it says that the stars in the heavens can literally not be numbered. There are so many of them. And once again, remember, this was written at a time when people didn't know the things we know. So 700 years before Christ, the Bible was saying, there's lots more stars than you think there are. And that has become very true as we have progressed in our modern age. Second thing that we have to look at is in Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. That shows that the Bible is a book ahead of its time. Revelation chapter 7. And in Revelation chapter 7, it says, after these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or in any tree. Now, the belief that there's such a thing as a flat earth has been falsely attributed to the Bible. The Bible nowhere says that the earth is flat. It says exactly the opposite. We're going to see that in a minute. When the King James Bible was translated in 1610, the Greek word translated four corners, right here in this verse 1 of Revelation 7, was mistranslated. The literal meaning in the original Greek text is the four quarters of the earth, north, south, east, and west. It wasn't referring to the corners of the earth, but the four directions of the compass that are very common now. It was representative of the four directions, north, south, east, and west. Christopher Columbus is often erroneously credited with proving that the earth is spherical with his voyage to the North America in 1492. This is not true. Greek mathematicians in the 6th century BC said that the earth is a sphere. The Greek philosopher, some of them in the 2nd century, and Aristotle's also came to the same conclusion. What they did is they dug a well in a certain location, straight down, and they dug another well in a certain location, straight down, 100 miles apart, and they looked at the shadow in the bottom of the well, and they could tell by where the shadow was how the distance between them and the angle of the earth, which would give them the diameter and the circumference of the earth. So they were pretty close to it. And the Bible was even ahead of them. Let's go to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah. And let's look at something. The book of Isaiah was written hundreds of years before Christ. We're going to look at Isaiah chapter 40. And once again, we're going to come to see that the Bible accurately depicted the shape of the earth. Isaiah chapter 40. And we're going to look in verse 22. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22. It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain. Another little interesting thing there is that the heavens have been stretched out. That's another subject. Look at verse 22, the first part. Sits above the circle. The word circle is a Hebrew word, and it can be translated sphere or round. So here we have, hundreds of years before Christ was alive, indications in the Bible that the Bible writers, because they were inspired obviously by God, the God up in heaven, that the Bible writers knew that the earth was round, or spherical. It wasn't flat. And so the Bible is often being accused of being a book about the flat earth, and it wasn't. Hundreds of years before Christ, this word here showed us that the earth was a sphere, or round. So the flat earth concept does not come from the Bible. So once again, the Bible was correct because it foreshadowed the fact that we now see that the earth is round. You know, no one had ever seen the roundness of the earth. We know it's round because of various other things, but one of the first ones that saw the roundness of the earth was the astronauts that were launched into outer space. They could look out of their space window and they could see the curve of the earth. Now, it's the first time that we had visual evidence that the earth was from a human eye. We had it from space probes. That the earth was actually round. And so the Bible, long before men came to that conclusion, knew that the earth was round and that it was not flat. Let's consider the next point. We're going to get into the god Atlas. Hercules. How about elephants? How about turtles? How about a big vast sea? Or maybe we could look at the scriptures. What do all these have to do with each other? All of them claim at some point in time that the earth sat upon these things. Some people said that Atlas was holding up the earth. He was one of the gods. He was holding up the earth. Or that Hercules put up in heaven. He was holding up the earth. The Indians, Hindus, believed that the earth was supported on elephants. Now, you might say, that's weird. And we're not being melodramatic here. They really believed that there was a giant elephant on which the earth sat, and that the elephant was what held up the earth. Others said that it was turtles. And some said that the earth was sitting on top of a giant sea. So all kinds of ideas came up from the Greeks about Atlas and Hercules and pillars upon which the earth was standing. The fact of a free-floating earth, you know, if you'd have told somebody 400 or 500 years ago that gravity could support things and hang things on nothing, they would have thought you were crazy. Now, to us, it's no big deal because we see pictures from the space probes. You know, we see the astronauts going to the moon and things like that. But many people, up until very recently, a couple of hundred years ago, believed that the earth was supported by something. Now, let's go to the book of Job. Go to the book of Job. Job chapter 26. Job 26. And let's look at Job chapter 26 and begin to read in verse 8. This is some of God's creative attributes. I want you to notice. It says, he binds up the water in thick clouds, yet the clouds are not broken under it. How does water exist in a cloud without falling? He covers the face of his throne and spreads his clouds over it. He drew a circular horizon on the face of the waters. At the boundaries of light and darkness, the pillars of heavens trembled and were astonished at his rebuke. He stirs up the sea with his power, and by his understanding he breaks up the storms. By his spirit he adorned the heavens. His hand pierced the fleeing serpent. Indeed, these are the mere edges of his ways. What we see in the heavens, brethren, are just the little shadows of his presence, the edges of his ways, the way the Bible says it. And how small a whisper we hear of him. But the thunder of his power, who can understand? I want you to notice, once we understand that all of these attributes come from God, notice what it says in verse 7. He stretches out the north over empty space. He hangs the earth on elephants, on Atlas, on some kind of pillars, on some kind of great sea. No, he hangs the earth on nothing. If you'd have told someone 400 or 500 years ago, especially before the time of Isaac Newton, who formulated the laws of gravity, you'd have told them there's things that, you know, objects just hang on nothing, they would have said, you're crazy. And here we have the Bible telling us thousands of years ago that the earth was just hanging in space. Now we know that happens because we know about gravity. We know about all the, you know, orbital mechanics and celestial mechanics. And we think we're so smart, and we are. But hundreds of years before Christ was born, the book of Job inspired by God, tells us that the earth, because of gravity, is simply hanging in space. And that was an unusual concept. Far from being a scientifically inaccurate book, the Bible is written in a style that agrees with many scientific facts. The Bible is written from the point of view of an extraterrestrial vantage point, from God's perspective, from someone literally observing from outer space. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created space. He created time. He created matter. Some people say that time and matter and space and gravity are all related. And without one, you don't have the others. So somehow or another, gravity is involved in the fabric of the universe. God is the one that designed all this. He designed it. Scientists have confirmed that the foundations of the universe consist of space, time, matter, and gravity. So when you look at the Bible, remember that you're looking at a book that is actually ahead of its time.